Thank you for joining Victory Center Church's Pastor Charlie today. We hope you're blessed from today's message. If you would like to know more about Victory Center, please go to victorycenter.org for more information. Enjoy the message. I know breakthrough is
coming. By faith, I see. So I'd like for you to turn with me to Luke chapter 6 this morning. And I'm going to do just a little bit of review, and then we're going to teach on learning to listen emphatically. And I find in marriages and in even close relationships, it's really important to learn how to communicate where both people are put at ease in communication and not on the defense. God is good, isn't He? All the time. And I was reminded again in my office this morning. I was reminded again. I came out a little early, and as I was walking around greeting a few people, and I was thinking of the Lord's Prayer. One place I find that is in Matthew chapter 6. And He said, I'm going to teach you how to pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Or Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we know for His kingdom to come, we're asking that the government of God, the will of God to be done here on earth as what is going on in heaven. And so this morning we just believe that the kingdom of God will descend upon us here today and that His will be done here. That means people will be helped. That means people will be set free. They will be healed and ministered to and receive instruction, even correction if necessary in our lives, and we'll all be encouraged. And when the kingdom comes, the opposition is pushed back. And so all opposition this morning, you that are watching online in your homes, it's back. The kingdom is coming there in your home. There's a manifestation of God's government. That's the authority of God. And there's a manifestation of authority of God here. And so we just declare that His kingdom is come this morning. So, Father, we come this morning with just thanking You, and we thank You for grace and mercy. We thank You that Your will, Your kingdom is come here today, because that's Your plan. That is Your will right here in this service today, that Your presence would flow freely. And Father, once again, that Your just kingdom would come in such an awesome way that everyone would be ministered to in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'd like for you to turn with me. I'm going to be reading, however, from the Message Bible from Luke chapter 6. And once again, we're sharing on the family. And when we shared on the family, actually be two Sundays ago, that we began by talking about the insecurities of the past and talked about what it means to be insecure, and then talked about the benefit of being secure and how the insecurities of the past brought into relationship will always cause challenges to come along the way. But God never gives up on us. He just keeps working on us. And Paul said, I can be confident in this very thing. He that hath begun a good work in me will perform or complete it right up into the time of His returning. So God is still working on all of us. Luke chapter 6, I'm going to share some of our foundation scriptures. We'll begin reading verse 35 in the Message Bible. And so here we go. Now, he starts out in something that it's not always easy to do the ways of God. You know, over 20 times in the gospel, Jesus said, you've heard it said, but I say unto you. Jesus always had a different way. And he said, I'm telling you something, love your enemies. Now, all of us know that that's probably not the easiest thing to do. Help and give without expecting a return. You'll never, I promise, regret it. Live on this God-created identity the way our Father lives toward us, generously and graciously. Even when we're at our worst, our Father is kind. Oh, I'm so glad of that, aren't you? You, or we, or I, be kind. Don't pick on people. that we've brought this into the relationship of the husband and wife and our children and all of that. Don't pick on people. Don't jump on their failures. Don't criticize their faults. Now let me go over that again. Don't pick on one another. Husbands, don't pick on wives. Wives, don't pick on husbands. Don't jump on our failures, each other's failures are missing the mark. Don't criticize their faults. Don't tell them, hey, you're just like your mama, or you're just like your daddy. I'm talking about the negative side. Unless, of course, you want the same treatment. Now, I don't think we personally want that same treatment. Don't condemn those who are down. That hardness can boomerang. Be easy on people. Just be easy on each other. You'll find life's a lot easier. Give away your life and you'll find life given back. But not merely given back. Given back with bonus and blessings. Giving, not getting, is the way generosity begets generosity. So he just tells us a practical way we're to live our life in our relationships or with one another. And then we bring those same principles down into our home. Now let's pick up here around about verse 41 here. Read just a little further. Now it's easy to see a smudge on your neighbor's face and be oblivious to the ugly sneer on your own. Now have we found that to be true in life as we walk along through life? Usually it's easier to find somebody else's fault because when we point out somebody else's fault, we're covering up our own. It's oblivious to the ugly sneer on your own. Do you have the nerve to say, let me wash your face for you when your own faith is distorted by contempt? It's this I know better than you mentality, again, playing a holier than thou part instead of just living your own part. I have a way of saying, hoe your own row. We hoe our own row, not somebody else's, unless we come to help them. Wipe that ugly sneer off your own face, and you might be fit to offer a washcloth to your neighbor. Now he's saying, hey, let's just get things taken care of ourselves, and then maybe we'll be able to help somebody else. And then we shared with you from Peter, I'm not going to go to that passage this morning, but it says, hey, be careful when you throw mud at somebody else because it's going to get on you. And we use the example, you know, it's hard to mess with a skunk without getting some stink on you. And if you want to criticize and find fault and complain about another person, be careful. That critical spirit is beginning to work its way in deceptively and beginning to get a hold of us and begin to control us where we'll see nothing but the worst in everybody. And we don't want to do that. Amen? Now, I want to share some scripture with you by the way of review before we change direction just a little bit. A lot of times we need to be reminded. Now, we're not going to complain. We're not going to set ourselves up as judge. We're not going to set ourselves up as a prosecuting attorney in our relationships. We're not going to be critical, but we're going to be kind. We're going to be loving, and we're going to be generous. Romans chapter 15. Let me just a moment to find that because I'll read it to you from the King James and I'm going to share it with you from just a few other translations also. And I'll begin at verse 5 in Romans chapter 15. Read it to you from the King James. Romans chapter 15. Let me jump down a little just for the sake of time. Well, I'm in Corinthians. No wonder he didn't like the way it's looking. Romans chapter 15. That was Corinthians chapter 15. I'm glad you're full of grace and mercy towards me this morning. Romans chapter 15. Now, I'm starting at verse 5. Now, the God of patience. That means he's the same all the time. Now, the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded toward one another. Now, he wants us to be like-minded toward one another. That means we're going to be the same every day. You know, not going to be nice one day and mean the next, or nice a couple days and then mean the rest of the week. We're going to be like the Lord. This is what we're striving for. We're to be patient, like-minded, one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, wherefore receive you one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now, Jesus doesn't hold us at arm length. He received us. Now, I want to read that same passage to you. Let's look at it in the Passion Translation, or if you have the Message, whichever one comes up first, I will go with that. Now, may God, the source of great endurance. Now, God wants to give each of us spatial endurance, if necessary, even in our relationships, and comfort. Grace you with unity among yourselves. Now, we all know how pleasant it is when the brethren dwell together in unity. Psalms 133 talks about then the anointing can get upon everyone. It's the same way in our homes. It's pleasant when there's unity, which flows from your relationship with Jesus, the Anointed One. Now then, for real unity in our homes to be as a home as heaven brought down to earth must really be rooted and founded in making a quality decision. I'm going to be a doer of the Word of God, and I'm going to stay rooted in Jesus Christ. Now, next verse. Then with unanimous rush of passion, you will with one voice glorify God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, just unanimously, there's just power there, rush of passion. We're going to glorify God. Now, verse 7. You will bring God glory when you accept and welcome one another as partners, just as the Anointed One has fully accepted you and received you as His partner. Let me read that again. You will bring God glory when you accept and welcome one another. Now then, when we accept one another in our relationship, especially husband and wife we're talking about, it brings glory to God. Just as the Anointed One has completely or fully accepted you or I and received you as His partner. So then we must really completely welcome our husband or wives as our partner and bring glory to God. Now let's look at that in the Message just here a moment. The Message Bible, and see how that reads. Start here at verse, we got that again. Okay. I mean, I can't pick up here in verse 5. Let me roll it to the next here. God wants the combination of a steady, constant calling and warm personal counsel in Scripture to come to characterize us, keeping us alert for whatever He will do next. I am almost kind of lost here. That's Romans 15, now we're in verse 6. Roll it here on past that. I'm going to have to start bringing my Message Bible with me. Talks about maturity in us, and so that you get along with each other. Now, to get along with each other, that has to be a measure of maturity. When we get along with each other, then we're not always just thinking about ourselves. As well as Jesus gets along with us all, then we'll all be a choir, not our voices only, but our very lives singing in harmony in a stunning anthem to God and Father of our Lord Jesus. Let's roll here to the next passage. Try to get to verse 7. So reach out and welcome one another to God's glory. Now when we welcome one another, or when we welcome each other, it's for God's glory. Jesus did it. I mean, He welcomed us. Now you do it. Now, so Jesus was the example for us. He paved the way. Now, I said, now you do. That's like when you're mentoring or teaching somebody. You show them how, then you help them, and then say, now you do it. And this is what Jesus is saying to us. You do the same thing. Now, Jesus did it. Staying true to God's purposes, reached out in a special way to the Jewish insiders. Now, I'm going beyond where I wanted to go, so I'm going to stop. I'm going to start bringing my Message Bible with me so I can stop where I want to stop and start where I want to start. Now, let me share with you just another verse of Scripture here in relationship going along. Let's look at Romans 14:19, and let's look at the Passion Translation. I may X a message out. I was going to go to that, but sometimes it's hard to pick it up here in the middle of where I want to go. So let's look at it here in the Passion for a moment. So then, this is Romans 14:19. So then make it your top priority. Now, we all know what priorities are. We continually are setting them in our lives. Some of them are good and some of them not so good. So then make it your top priority to live a life of peace with harmony in your relationships. Now, what's a top priority here in relationships? Live in harmony. Now, I could hear some better amens here along the way here. Eagerly seeking to strengthen and encourage one another. Then we as husband and wives and children, we need to make it a top priority, live in harmony, and seek to encourage and build one another up. So that's our goal in the relationship. And let me catch one more in Romans 14:13, and then I'm going to change and go to where we want to go this morning. But these passages of Scripture here that we're sharing with you, putting in your remembrance, are really important. So stop being critical and condemning of other believers. Now, your husband or wife's a believer, we're not going to be critical. We're not going to condemn, and neither are we going to be condemning of other believers. But instead, determine to never deliberately cause a brother or sister to stumble and fall because of your actions. Now, we must be determined then. Let's not cause our mate to stumble or fall because of actions that are not in alignment with God's purposes and plans. So turn to someone and say, I'm going to build up my mate. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to turn with me. Here in a moment, I'll tell you where I want to turn and sharing with you here in relationship to communication now. Now, I want to inject this along the way. It seems like that we allow many times someone's actions or their motives to determine how we're going to act. Now, maturity in the Word of God and becoming like Jesus, we can't allow someone's actions or motives to give us an excuse to act wrongly. We must always do the right thing or strive to. And I make this statement along the way, and right here's a good place to interject it again. It's not about always being right, but it's about doing right. And that's challenging, to purpose to do right. Now, I'm going to change now just a little bit because in any relationship, but we're going to talk about the marriage relationship. Now, in a marriage relationship, it seems like sometimes communication is somewhat challenging at times. Sometimes emotions get involved and don't communicate properly. Now, somehow couples think that getting married will solve every problem. It might solve some, but it isn't going to solve every problem. And for instance, before marriage took place, he would talk and she would listen. On the honeymoon, she talked and then he listened. Now, after the honeymoon, they both talked and the neighbors listened. Now, there is a measure of truth in that statement. And the truth that I'm going to impart to you and teach you and inspire you to do, and myself this morning, is learn to listen emphatically. You say, well, Pastor, what's emphatic listening? Emphatic listening is this. We seek to understand first, not to be understood. Now, most of the time, even in two adults, when they come to communicate about something, they want to be understood. That's just life. That's our nature. But for successful communication to be operative in your home and relationship, we always must learn first to seek to be understood, to understand. That's the purpose. To seek to be understood, excuse me. Now, in our relationships, along the way, it seems like opposites attract sometimes, a lot of times. And so you have two people thinking different things. And when you think differently than your mate, you also are seeing differently. You see the situation differently. You process it differently. And a lot of times we'll come out with different answers. Now, I know this is Sunday morning, but I took the liberty to do this. And I want you to put what I asked to show here of the end in up on the overhead. All of you can see it. Hopefully that those are online also can see it. Now, what do you see there? I know this is Sunday morning, so you don't need to talk to me audibly. Now, personally, there at a first glance, I see an Indian, pretty, stoic. Now, however, I've looked at this, so I don't see the Indian. I see an Eskimo. You look at that. Now, so, see, some of you may be looking at that, and you say, well, I see it. Others say, well, I don't see it. Well, you're both right. Now, let me give another picture that might be a little better. Now, the Eskimo is his back kind of to you, walking out. Can anybody see the Eskimo? Can you see it on that one? I know all of you won't, but some of you will. So this is the way it is in communication. No, I see it differently. No, this is the way it is. And so the challenge is learning to work that out. Okay, thank you. You can take that down now. And when we talk about listening emphatically or seeking first to understand, and I'm going to give you just a few points of what is not emphatic listening, because this is the way we tend to listen, and it is not emphatic listening. Number one, emphatic listening is not giving advice. It's like this: I think you should. That's not listening emphatically. You're not trying to understand, you're trying to give advice. Straighten them out. It is not justifying your situation or what you think. Well, I didn't mean that. That's not emphatically. You're listening first. You're wanting to understand this, your wife or your husband, and then maybe a coworker, employee, or employer. Emphatic listening is not bringing correction to a person. I never said that. See, you're always, see, emphatic listening. If you're listening emphatically, you're not forming or framing what you're getting ready to say when you have an opportunity to speak. That's a debate. Or bringing it down to reality, that's really an argument. Emphatic listening is not telling a story. Well, that reminds me of this happened to me. That's not listening emphatically. You're not seeking to understand. You're wanting the other to understand you. And emphatic listening is not shutting off your feelings or giving someone the silent treatment. Why are you so mad? Well, that just sparks, something that's just not really going to lend to listening emphatically. And it's not interrogating someone. I'll go along here a little faster. It's not evaluating someone. And really, sometimes you talk to someone and they always have something that trumps what you said. That's not emphatic listening. Emphatic listening is seeking first to understand. And so I have written here, so please listen and just hear me. If you want to talk, wait for your turn, and then I'll listen to you. I don't know how many of you here have someone that will listen to you with the purpose to understand and to communicate. Now, you know, I have grandkids, and I have great-grandkids. Now, believe it or not, I don't know how old my oldest great-granddaughter is. Someone here might know better than I. I don't know whether she's in the first grade, second grade, or third grade. It wouldn't be more than third grade, I don't think. But they use terminology that I'm not familiar with. And some of the teenagers in church, and we're not, it's not being critical anyway, use terminology that I'm not familiar with. For instance, I was talking to my grandson the other day, and he's in graduate, so he's not a little grandson, he's in his graduate work. And he said, well, are you dating anyone? And he said, oh, yeah, she's a dime. Well, she worth 10 cents? You know? No, she's off the charts, off the scale. And see, that my communication, to communicate, I had to find out what he's talking about. He's talking about somebody that's totally off the chart. Well, to me, she's worth 10 cents. A dime, you know. And so, and then some of these, you know, is not quite so modern, but I still hear this terminology used, man. I don't quite know how to use this terminology here, but he's hot or she's hot. And that means, she running a temperature? But to them, cool person, attractive, you know, that's what that means. So in our communication, sometimes there's a gap in understanding what the other person is saying. And that's why we make an effort or seek to understand first. And for instance, yesterday, Margaret and I, and I'd been pushing pretty hard, and he just had eaten and sat on the couch a little bit. Margaret said, I think I'll go upstairs and take a nap. I said, well, I think I'll go down. And she said, well, where are you going? Well, I was going to go down on the couch. I wasn't going any place. I was just going to go down. So there's just, I know that's a simple deal. Wouldn't be what you'd cause a major riff or anything like that. But in communication, you've really got to listen to what the other person is saying to you and I, or saying to us, especially in the marriage relationship. Now, when we talk about actually communicating, and I was reminded in relationship to communication and our temperaments, and you know, there's the choleric, and then there's the sanguine, then there's the melancholy, and then the phlegmatic. And usually, a choleric doesn't marry another choleric. If you do, you're going to have a little bit of a vine always for who's in charge. But a choleric is someone, and it's our temper, there are four different temperaments. Choleric is someone that's got to be my way. Now, sanguine person does everything the fun way. Just all about having fun, doesn't really care how it happens so much, if it's orderly, unorderly, and what it costs or doesn't cost. They're just out to have fun in life. And then there's the melancholy. There's the perfectionist. And it's good to be a perfectionist. I used to be one. I'm not anymore. And sometimes we that are perfectionists, or you that are perfectionists, we take our perfectionists, and we saddle that with everybody else. They can never do anything right. And then there's the phlegmatic. We're going to do it the easy way. We're not too interested in too much hard work, but we're just going to do it the easy way. Now, in reality, many times a choleric is going to marry maybe a sanguine or a melancholy or phlegmatic, and then you got the temperament gap. This what motivates you doesn't motivate me. And so automatically then you got a communication challenge going on, because our motivations come from a different gifting that is on the inside of us. A cleric is going to have not only what's his way, they're going to be more hard work. They're going to be pretty plain spoken. Doesn't mean to hurt anyone's feelings, but sometimes a cleric, because of their forwardness, may hurt someone's feelings. And then the sanguine, always wanting to do the fun way, they forget about the other person, just get wrapped up in their emotions. So there's challenges along the way. Now, somewhere along the line, I memorized Proverbs 18:17. And I memorized this passage of Scripture from the Living Bible. And it reads this way: the story sounds true until someone tells the other side and sets the record straight. Now, you know, if you're in counseling, and I am not a counselor, I can tell you what the Bible will say about a situation and encourage you to be a doer of the Word of God. But in counseling, what I discovered, that one person will come and tell their side, and you are ready to wring the other person's neck, literally. And the other person comes and tell their side, and you're ready to wring the other person's neck. And it's so true. The story sounds good until someone else comes and sets the record straight. It's all about learning to communicate from different temperaments that drives you. And why do we talk about emphatic listening? We're doing what? We're seeking first to what? Understand. You're not going to be framing a reply while you're listening to the other individual. Then you just got an argument trying to drive home your point that you're right and your way is right. But good communication can never develop in any relationship, first of all, without trust. And the level of trust that you have in another individual will determine the level that you're going to communicate on. If you're going to have really good communication, they must develop a high level of trust. Because if you don't trust the other person when you begin to talk and share, and they're going to put you down, be judgmental, critical, and find fault, you will not share or communicate with that individual. And so it's really important that we learn how to communicate. Emphatic listening is what we're seeking, what first to what? Understand. Then there's a place that, you know, we do want to be understood also. Now, in relationships, and we read to you from Romans chapter 14 and different places in chapter 15, that we are to receive one another, or not to find fault and be critical. But in every relationship, there's more than three things, but I lump them up because I understand it this way, into kind of three principles. And every relationship needs, I'm talking about the marriage relationship, needs affection. The wife needs affection. The husband needs affection. And we read these in Romans 14 and Romans 15. And every relationship needs acceptance. I need to feel accepted whether I did everything right or not. I'm not on a performance basis with you. And we need appreciation. And really, the Bible speaks of our children are like well-watered plants in our home. For a plant to do good, it has to have the proper nourishing. And you will find if you give affection and acceptance and appreciation, all members of the family will do well. We all need that. Now, when we talk about affection, many times when we say affection, our minds and automatically go to the physical side of a relationship. And there's nothing particularly wrong with that at all. But there needs to be, especially depending on what drives you, what temperament you have, or then we have the five different love languages, all of that going together, and what drives you. But you need to just touch one another sometimes. And actually, psychologists, I don't know if it's true, but they say the woman needs 12 meaningful touches every day. So men get up and go, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So ask your wife if that's true. Non-sexual touching. It's part of being affectionate. And, I have never done this, but I have thought about it a time or two. Not with my wife, of course. But there needs to be some showing appreciation and in communication. I really don't quite know how to express this in the area of communication. But if you're listening with the intent to understand, you're not going to have this attitude. Honey, your mouth is extremely beautiful when it's closed. You're not going to think like that. Either way, husband or wife. Now, emphatic listening is challenging. It's not easy, but it is something that is learned. It is something that is developed. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 says, we speak the truth in love. And then that goes on to, then we grow up in Christ because of him. It just ties right in with the other scripture we've shared with you the last two times we have shared with you on this. And so in emphatic listening, the one that is talking cannot fall into the trap of always bringing accusations. And the truth of it is, let me give you this example. Somewhat familiar with. This couple had a pretty good relationship, but there was this obsession with the wife that every time, and had kiddos and appliances wear out, that she had to have a Frigidaire appliance, regardless of what it was, refrigerator, stove, or whatever. It had to be a Frigidaire product. Regardless of price, whether another was cheaper or not, it had to be a Frigidaire. And it caused a little bit of contention among them and between them. And they had been married around in the 20s years. And they took a leave of absence for 15 months. Now, this is what kind of... Man, how could they be gone for 50 months? They went to Hawaii, lived in Hawaii. Took their family. And something come up about the appliances and it there and having some problems, and it had to be a Frigidaire and having a little trouble finding it. And they were walking on the beach and sit down and always kind of packed a lunch, and the kids would play in the surf and the waves there, and then they would eat their lunch there they'd packed and brought. And something come up, and the wife began to open up, and the husband began to listen emphatically. Once again, emphatic listening is listening with the intent to understand. And she began to share how her dad at home, he was successful at his work, but they needed more money, had several kiddos, and so he took another job and eventually started a business of his own, and that was with appliances. And the appliances he handled were Frigidaire. And then kind of went through some difficult times, looked like he was going to have to shut the business down to turn bankrupt, etc. But Frigidaire financed him and kept him afloat. And he lived through it and was able to make correction and get the business to work again. And as the husband listened with intent to understand, he could sense what his wife had gone through in the past that was affecting her thinking today about Frigidaire. Frigidaire had kept them afloat. And so her loyalty was there. And so the husband, for the first time, understood why his wife, like Frigidaire plant, she wasn't trying to be contentious. She wasn't trying to be argumentative. She wasn't trying to just get her way. But Frigidaire had saved their bacon in times past by financing the business and keeping them afloat. They eventually got on their feet. And so when he listened emphatically with the intent to understand, that door of contention was closed forever between their in their relationship. But he listened emphatically. Affection, appreciation, and acceptance are three things that we all need. We don't need rejection. Now, in a relationship where there is trust, it's easier to say, "I'm sorry. You're right, and I'm wrong." But if there's no trust there and you live with someone that is critical, fault-finding, those words are hard to come by because you know if you say them, the other person will criticize and tell you how you was wrong and give you ways not to do that again. And so those words don't come out easily if you're living in a relationship where there's no trust and you're living with someone that's always finding fault and being critical, as we read when we started out in the book of Luke in the Message Bible. Now, I give you some principles of how not to communicate emphatically or what emphatic communication isn't. Now, I'm going to give you some principles that will help you communicate and kind of get things going on the right track. Now, communication always doesn't come easily. It's if you're going to listen with intent to actually understand another person. I give you examples, you know, of what different words mean and et cetera, and form your have a gap there. But number one, and you're looking for something profound, but it isn't profound. Number one, you're going to have to make a decision that you're going to communicate. And these things here, and I just give you really a simple example of the Frigidaire, but if you leave these things undone and sweep them under the carpet of the rug, you're setting up a scene later on in time that's going to be explosive. Well, I don't want to talk about it. Well, you bury it. And you're setting up a situation and for an explosion later on, and even though it may have a long fuse on it right now, that fuse is going to get pretty short. And there'll be an explosive situation because you've never been able to communicate intelligently or listen with the intent to understand. Now, all of us need to be making the decision that we're going to listen with the intent to understand. That will diffuse it. It'll put that explosion It'll push it off into the sea. Now, in listening with the intent to understand, one person is listening, and another person is talking. Another person is not interrupting another person, not interrogating or evaluating. You got one person listening and another person talking. Now, if the person that is supposed to be listening emphatically, that's with intent to understand, quits, then you're going to have interruptions and you're going to get off of the subject material. And when you get off of the subject material, you're going to try to solve it your way because you have something on the inside, especially if you're choleric temperament. You're also going to be a fixer. You just automatically can fix another person. But they don't want to be fixed your way. But you know what needs to be done. And probably can be pretty accurate sometimes. Part of your gifting. Now, Proverbs chapter 18 says that there's death and life in the power of the tongue. Now, that principle, death and life in the power of the tongue, is also involved in our relationships. With my tongue, I can minister life or I can minister death. I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, and this is where it was going to go a while ago, but let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, and I'm going to share this with you. I just read it to you from the King James because it's good. Others are enhance it even more. Now, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Now, let me, in case you missed that, it says, who's in charge here? You are. I am. You have the power to not let corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. You have that power. Or you have the power to let it. But he says, don't let it. Corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Now, this is what I want you to talk about. Talk like he says. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it would minister grace to the hearer. We all need grace ministered to us. I mean, there's people out there, it's a pretty rough world sometimes, and they've been beat down all along. They need to be encouraged. They need to be lifted up. They need to be edified. Now, if you will remember the verses we read to you in Romans, it all brought that out. It's our top priority. But here he says, we need to let words come out of our mouth that do what? Edify. That means build up. That means encourage. And then it ministers grace unto the hearer. And so we purpose in our communication, death and life is in the power of the tongue. So what are we going to do? We're going to choose life. We're going to allow our tongue to get on the side of life. And we're going to speak words that edify and that minister grace to the hearer. And then when trusted, we grow in trust, then communication can be open. It can be honest. And when you move into that level where you have total trust, it is so easy to have communication that is open and honest and listen with the intent to understand. I turned to someone and said, I'm going to listen with the intent to understand. If your wife or your husband is by you, speak that to them there. Now, in our communication, when we come into an area that we need to communicate, true communication means our minds are also open, our emotions are open, and We've made the decision. We're going to communicate. But at the same time, the real truth is we may not have all the answers. That's why we're communicating. I don't have all the answers, but I'm willing to learn. Now, whether it's a church or a business, we've never done it that way before, and you stand firm on that. That's the dying words. And in communication, we've got to be willing to learn about some principles or about our makeup and learn how another person is feeling. And sometimes opposites attract, it seems like. And so there's very different. And sometimes after opposites attract, they also repel. You need to find someone that has some likes that you have. And I'm talking about just being born again. Christians get divorced at a very high rate and they're born again, most of them. There needs to be some other issues involved also. And then this attitude's got to be involved because this is why you're communicating. You're not always in agreement. Let me word it another way, but I'm going to try real hard to see where you're coming from. That's another way of defining emphatic listening. I'm going to try to see where you're coming from. I'm really going to try to see that. And somewhere in communication and marriage relationships, many times there's got to be forgiveness bestowed. We talked about forgiveness 2 weeks ago. God's merciful. In our foundation scripture we started with, say, we're to be also merciful. And somehow, you've got to be able to communicate to the other person, hey, I do have your best interest at heart, and not my own. Now, that's challenging sometimes. If you're an argumentative person, you've got your own interest. That's all you're thinking about, is yourself. But if you're going to listen emphatically, you've got to have another person's interest. And this attitude has got to be involved. I know I'm not always right. And if I see it, I'm wrong, I'm going to freely admit it. I'm going to humble myself. And so in our communication, I've given you just a few things here. You are capable. I keep wanting to go back to Romans chapters 14 and 15, but it talks about because of Jesus and how we're to accept one another. You are capable of working out any challenge or difficulty that would ever come your way. Now, let me read a couple scriptures to you. I have quite a bit here yet I'd like to share, but I'm just not going to have time, but I'll have time to read these scriptures to you. And I'll read to you from the book of Proverbs. And if this is practiced, along with the principles that I give you this morning, it'll save you from having some intense discussions. I'm reading from Proverbs chapter 17, and I'm going to read verses 27 and 28 to you. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Now, we're seeking to what? Understand in emphatic listening. An excellent spirit. Now, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Nancy Reagan made this statement, said, a great marriage, sometimes you just don't say what you want to say. You keep quiet. Now let's look at this in the NLT before I leave this passage. A truly wise person uses few words. A person of understanding is what? Now here's the key. When we're seeking to understand, we've got to be even-tempered. Now here's the thing about it. Now in communication, we talked about 2 weeks ago the red buttons that could be pushed that cause trouble. Now there's areas of communication we kind of work around because we know if we talk about it, it's going to be rather explosive. Now we hear the terminology, that's just the tip of the iceberg. 87 to 88% of an iceberg is underwater, you can't see. But the tip of the iceberg, you know, but we work around now. They also tell us that communication, most of the time, is better than 80% non-verbal. Now, if you know someone, you can tell the way they're looking at you, what you're supposed to do, whether you're supposed to zip it or whether you talk or whatever. Whether, you know, hey, I'm approving or I'm not approving. That look of disgust or acceptance. Now, so a wise person uses few words. I mean, now here's where we come with the body language, and we want to use good body language, not disgust. You know, I literally witnessed this. I was just standing there in his church people, and this person, this woman actually walked to another. I want you to know I love you, and just turned around and stomped off. Her body language nullified everything she said. A truly wise person uses few words, and a person with understanding is even-tempered. Now then, if we develop the heart of listening, we're going to be what? Even-tempered. If we're going to listen to understand, we're also going to be even-tempered. Verse 28. Even fools are thought wise when they keep silent, with their mouths shut. You know, that's what's extremely beautiful. They seem intelligent. Now let's look at Proverbs 13:3. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. See, death and life is in the power of the tongue. But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Let's look at that also in the NLT. Those who control their tongue will have a long life. See, there's life in the tongue. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. I mean, everything can just be going hunky-dory and you say the wrong thing. Everything good is gone. Everything you put in that emotional bank and deposits in the other person, I'm talking about over months, and you just say the wrong thing a time or two and all those deposits are withdrawn. They're taken out of the emotional bank account. That individual. They're gone. Put the verse back up here, please. Now those who control their tongue are going to have a long life. Opening your mouth can do what? I mean, it can take all the deposits that you deposit in another person's emotional bank account and withdraw them that quick.
You are listening to Pastor Charlie from Victory Center Church. We hope you are blessed by today's message. If you would like more information, please go to victorycenter.org. Thanks and be blessed.